This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in your hotel room, but is it chilly? Is it raining?
Because it's 42 and raining.
Oh, there you go. So kind of like here in the Bay Area, quite frankly. But I wanted to ask you this. We were talking about, you know, coaches and, you know, the trade deadline, and whether you're acquiring a big player, you're losing a big player, the dynamics as a head coach, because you were obviously, you've been a head coach multiple times, you're a longtime head coach over in Portland, and the dynamics and the differences between acquiring a big player, like the Warriors just did with Jimmy Butler, obviously losing an Andrew Wiggins, who was a champion, who meant a lot to the team and his teammates, and, you know, a guy like Jason Kidd right now in Dallas, who just lost, you know, Luka Doncic, and one of the faces and the young faces of the league, and obviously we don't have to get into all the fan vitriol, this, that, and the other, but the locker room, keeping the locker room together, the dynamics, how difficult is that as a coach trying to keep everything in-house and trying to keep the status quo going forward with such a big change here at the trade deadline?
Things. One is, you know, when you make a trade in midseason, whether it's the trade deadline or not, incorporating a new player is a challenge because you've spent, you know, 3-4 months with your team and evolving over those 3 or 4 months, and you kind of have to take a step back and kind of recalibrate what you need to get done, particularly at the offensive end, how to integrate the new player. And obviously, if you have a player who has a bigger role, like Jimmy does with us, it's even more important about what works with that new player if he's a different type of player. I mean, I'm not going to get into the Luka AD trade, but, you know, you're trading two different players who do different things. And so you have to adjust according to who you're bringing in, and, you know, maybe you keep some things that you did, maybe you add new things. It just depends on the dynamics. As far as keeping the locker room together, I really don't. It's like everybody in the league is really smart. Players are smart, coaches are smart, management smart. So it's something that you work with. It's tough to lose friendships that you've made over the years in the case like Andrew, but it's you just make it work, and you kind of grieve the loss of your former players, and you open your arms to the new guy.
Coach, I'm watching this guy. Again, like, we've seen him before, but when he's on your team, you watch way more discerning, you know, and the way he plays through contact is just, some guys have that and some guys don't. That element was desperately needed for this team, wasn't it?
Well, you know, he's a different type of player, but you look at how many free throws that he has taken over in just two games, and that was one of our weaknesses. We didn't get to the free throw line, so Jimmy's obviously going to help that. And you're correct in what you're saying. You don't realize who a player really is until you're with him. You watch him more intently when he's with your team. Obviously, we had a lot of respect for Jimmy over the years, wherever he's been, but you learn to appreciate what he can do for your team the more you see him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I mean, is this an absurd sentence to say? Is he your best back-to-the-basket guy you have on the roster?
Well, you know, on my post-game edit, I'm actually putting in post-ups to review post-ups because mostly the post-ups that we've run are for split actions, you know. So when we get Draymond or Lewin on the block or Trace Jackson, that's it was always to be a passer. Now we got a guy who can score down there. So I don't think that's necessarily a difficult statement to say.
Talking with Warriors assistant coach Terry Stotts right now, courtesy of the River Islands guest line at Spadoni and Chasky. It's the Morning Roast. And coach, you know, Steph talked about it after the game. I think it was after his first game in Chicago when these two guys finally hit the floor together as teammates, Jimmy Butler, that is. He talked about the yin and yang, how they're opposites, but it works so well together. Can you kind of speak on that and just how you see them on the floor together and their games complementing each other, where one is the greatest three-point shooter of all time and the other one really doesn't attempt the three-point shot and is kind of like a throwback player from the early 2000s?
Well, I think you're right. I think their style of play certainly complements each other. You know, to have what Jimmy does and what Steph does and playing off of each other, there's going to be an adjustment period about finding out what works best, but I think everybody's seen in two games how their offensive games complement each other. Jimmy, you know, he plays under control. I think he's a very smart player, as is Steph, and they know the game, and they've both won at a high level, and they know what it takes to win. And I've been impressed with how quickly the adjustment has gone for both ways, both for Jimmy and then for us and his teammates.
Coach, it feels like Jimmy's getting a lot of the headlines, but some of these young guys are playing the best ball of the year and of their careers. Quentin Post is contributing. I think he's been fantastic as of late. Moses Moody feels like he's playing the best ball of his career. And then Pajemski, since coming back from the injury, has been outstanding. What is it about the young guys really hitting their stride right now?
Well, it's really good to see. You know, obviously BP's Brandon started off a little slow after having such a good year last year, but he's come back and playing with a lot of confidence. You said the same thing about Moses, but I'm really happy for Quentin Post. You know, he's a good kid. He's working hard. He spends time in Santa Cruz, but I mean, you look at those three threes he hit last game, and that kind of broke the game open for us. And he's going through a learning curve, particularly at the defensive end, but he plays with confidence. But you know, you need the guys coming off the bench while Quentin's starting at times, but you need those guys off the bench to come in. And now we've always talked about the minutes that Steph is not on the court and now Jimmy, but having them play with confidence is just such a good positive for us.
Coach, are you surprised with the swagger and edge of a young Quentin Post coming to this? I know he was, you know, he's a five-year guy, whatever, this, that, and the other. He's had a lot of experience, which I know is a rarity in this day and age coming from college. So a lot of the one-and-dones, this, that, the other, a lot of the Europeans coming over. But are you kind of surprised with how quickly and how much he's adjusted at the pro level?
You know, yes and no. I think it's tough for young big guys to have an impact early, especially, you know, he's a second-round pick. But it's really difficult for young big guys to come in the league and adapt that quickly. And I think the time that he spent in Santa Cruz helped him learn the pro game here in the States. The fact that he can shoot as well as he can is a plus. He shoots with confidence. If you saw those three shots he hit against Milwaukee were really confident shots. He wanted to take them. He was ready to take them. And then defensively, you know, I think that's the most difficult adjustment for young big guys is learning how to guard pick and rolls, how to block out bigger players, how to defend the post, because in college you can't really defend the post the way you can here. So the defensive end of the court for him is going to be his biggest adjustment, but I think he has opened up some things, and something that, you know, helps everybody else. Just the scouting report on him now is he's a three-point shooting big man. You got to guard him, which opens up the lane for our other players.
Another guy that I want to get into that we haven't seen for a while, but hopefully we're going to see him shortly, and as we're talking to Terry Stotts, Warriors assistant coach here on the Morning Roast, Jonathan Kuminga. Obviously, he's going to be reevaluated in 10 days. That was the report yesterday. And I just am wondering about how he's going to be reintegrated to this team now, which has changed in a big way. I mean, you got Jimmy Butler there now, and Kuminga was playing the best ball of his career prior to this ankle injury. How do you foresee, you know, Kuminga coming back to this team and fitting in with, you know, Jimmy Butler and the rest of these new faces?
Well, you're right about the fact he was playing his best basketball, obviously, since I've been here, best basketball of the season. I can't speak to last year, but, you know, it's going to work itself out. I can't really say how right now, but you know, JK is a great player. Jamie Draymond, they know how to play. So you make it work, and I think you'll see lineups where, let's say you have Draymond and JK and Jimmy out there at the same time, and gives you a lot of flexibility defensively and offensively. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge, obviously, to work it through, but he is too talented of a player not to be able to figure it out. And now when you add a player like Jimmy who will actually complement JK's game, and I think JK will learn a lot from him.
You know, when you work with someone every day, you learn stuff about them. And maybe from afar, you have a preconceived notion of what that person might bring to the table or their personality type or whatever. But then you get to working every day and you learn little things about them. Have you learned anything about Jimmy Butler that maybe you were wrong about or that has surprised you early on?
It's probably too early to say that. Based on these two games and my interactions with him, you know, he's a very intelligent basketball player. You know, he sees the game. You know, you can evaluate him as an opponent, and you respect what he's done, but he's picked up things really quickly. He already has the respect of his coaches and players in the locker room and on the court. I think he's in a good place right now. You know, regardless of what happened in Miami, he's in a good place. He's excited about being here. But, you know, if there's one thing I'd say, it's a lot of times you don't realize how good a player is until you see him every day or every minute and really lock in on him. And I think that's what I've seen so far with Jimmy.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate the time. Good luck tonight in Dallas. And
absolutely.
Let's finish this, you know, trade day, or the All-Star break, I should say, on a high note. Let's get these next two in Texas.
Sounds like a good plan.
Love it.
Thanks, Coach.
That's Terry Stotts right here on the River Islands Guest Line. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the Free Odyssey app. I think I already did that, but just to be safe, can never be too safe, Joe Shasky. And by the way, we have another contest. You know, we have the knockout. We got the Slam Dunk in Vegas. We're also giving away a pair of Curry 12s, Joe Shasky. So you're all going to be listening for the next segment, and you're going to want to be listening for your cue to call. Do we have the sounder ready? One Carter.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
That's the sounder right there.
Whoa.
That's the sounder right there. So wait for that one, and you're going to be calling 415-523-4652. Be the fifth caller to the contest line to win a pair of the Steph Curry Under Armour What the Bay 12s. Not now. You're going to be waiting for that on the other side, as these pair of shoes release this Friday, February 14th, on UA.com. For more info and to see what they look like, visit 957thegame.com. All right, we're going to react to what Terry Stotts had to say, plus Jerry freaking Rice joining us at 8:30 as well. We are locked and loaded on this hump day in the Bay, and that's what's coming up, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Moody? Moses, pardon the Red Sea. Warriors in action tonight against the Dallas Mavericks without Anthony Davis, without Derek Lively, without any big, quite frankly. So do the Warriors go small again tonight? We shall see. Coverage of that starts at 5:30 with Warriors Live. The tip is at 6:30, just the tip. And then Tim Roy will be on the call. What's up, Joe? How you doing, bud?
We're going to get right back into the Warriors. Pitchers and catchers are reporting this week in baseball.
Yay.
I got an email.
Yay!
From the San Francisco Giants. New for the 2025 season. Cheer on number 51. Not Noah Lowry. Jung-Hoo Lee. And the Giants as part of the Jung-Hoo crew in section 142. And check out the Jung-Hoo t-shirts they have. The Jung-Hoo Lee t-shirts. Look at these.
Oh, they're like the Brian Wilson ones from back in the day, where it was just the beard.
Well, yeah. it's his face.
Yeah, it's a silhouette.
And then it says Jung-Hoo where the glasses would be, the big Oakleys.
Cool. Yeah.
Or whatever the baseball glasses are. I think crew where the mouth is.
I like it.
Are you in or out on
those? Those are cool.
He's trying to endear himself to Giants fans.
Well, they need some sort of swagger on the team. God, like, yes.
And well, he needs to play.
Well, that's part of it. And he got hurt, which sucked. And defensively last year was an adventure at times in center field for Jung-Hoo Lee, to put it bluntly. Maybe he doesn't get hurt if he was more acclimated with that center field and the walls, this, that, and the other. But I say all that to say, I'm looking forward to the Jung-Hoo Lee experience. I'm looking forward to the Willie Adames experience. Those are two guys that bring energy.
that bring enthusiasm. Yeah. Talking about energy and enthusiasm in a locker room or in a clubhouse, that's what we're seeing with Jimmy Butler right now. And I'm excited to see how that looks, and I'm excited to see what Jung-Hoo Lee looks like. And I do think him being from Korea, him being a star there, him being a familiar face here in the Bay Area with a very large Asian community, he can endear himself very quickly if he, you know, doesn't make the mistakes on the base paths, doesn't make the mistakes and, you know, the, dominate the controllables if I'm Jung-Hoo Lee first and foremost, because I know what he could do, hopefully at the plate, because I've seen it. But just do the little things, right? And then you'll endear yourself more and more. It's kind of what Jimmy Butler's doing right now. He's not making shots, but he's doing the little things. He's making the passes, the touchdown passes. He's getting the steals. And he's getting to the line. He's putting pressure on the opposing defenses, Joe Shasky, in a different way. Because Steph's going to do that from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got the inside presence to put the pressure on them. Now you're getting the other team in foul trouble. Now I can't double-team Steph all the time. I can't be fouling. I can't be hunting all the time and hacking. So I'm excited. I'm also excited because if you're listening for the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be giving away a pair of the new Curry 12s, and you're going to be listening for a sounder. And do you have that sounder ready, Carter? He has a thumbs up. So not yet. Don't play it. But if you were listening last segment, he's going to play a sounder, and that's going to be your cue to call in to win a pair of the Stephen Curry What the Bay 12s, the yet-to-be-released Stephen Curry What the Bay 12s, because they released this Friday on Valentine's Day, February 14th. All right, so we're going to have some really good sound here in a second, Joe Chasky, because Draymond Green of the Draymond Green Show podcast alongside Baron Davis.
Oh, what is it now?
Well, he spoke on the Jimmy Butler acquisition, and he had some interesting sound in regards to what he said with Stephen Curry, so we'll get to that in a second. But reaction from what Terry Stotts had to say in regards to kind of what Steve Kerr said, the seamless transition in the locker room. I can't underestimate that or understate that enough, I should say. The seamless transition on the court and in the locker room. Are you surprised by that?
No, he's a very good basketball player. And I feel I'm always of the nature, like 9 times out of 10, sophisticated basketball players, IQ wise, intelligence wise. I'm talking about basketball IQ. They'll figure it out if they want to. If they want to play nice, they'll figure out how to play within the fabric of accentuating everyone's skill set. What I loved is that he was talking about, and I brought up, hey, you know, is he the best back-to-the-basket guy they have? Meaning, is he the best guy to throw the ball to on the block, on the roster? And he's like, well, you know, we do a lot of split action, meaning they send multiple screens and two guys are, you know, peeling off that and running to the three-point line. And now we need to start devising certain post-up moves to where that guy could be a scorer.
Mm.
And not a passer, because Draymond would pass out of that.
Yeah.
You know, Bogut before that would pass out of that. Zaza would pass out of that. Livingston, to a lesser degree, would pass out of that. Wiggins every now and then. That tells me they're running more things for Jimmy Butler that accentuate his skill set, which shows me that the staff, i.e. Steve Kerr, is evolving offensively, which is what we've been asking for. And I think that if you want to make this work with Jimmy, you have got to find the happy balance of accentuating what Steph does well, accentuating what Jimmy Butler does well. That's the essence of coaching.
Speaking of Steve Kerr, he joined Willer and Dibbs yesterday, courtesy of the Riverlines guest line, and you can find that entire interview on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. Download that bad boy. Here's Steve Kerr on the impact Jimmy Butler has had on the floor.
Based on who he is, he automatically controls the game. It's really interesting. I mean, all we did was give him 3 or 4 plays that we run, a couple out-of-bounds plays, and that's it. We had one shoot-around in the last, you know, 3 days and no practice time other than that. And it didn't matter. Like, he just knows how to play, and there's a tempo and a pace that he plays at, never gets sped up. And it's not impacting, like, the number of threes we're taking. In fact, I think it's improving our shot quality. But what the biggest thing is, you know, his ability to pass and manipulate defenses means Steph and Buddy and those guys are Moses. They're getting better looks on the back end of possessions, much like Steph did, you know, in the early years with Andre and Sean Livingston and guys like that who just had great feel. Like Jimmy. So the possessions seem cleaner, and then the ability to get to the line, which is something we frankly never had since I've been here. I think 28 free throws in 2 games. Amazing the calming effect that free throws have on a game. And so Jimmy's bringing all of that to the table and more.
See, I don't want to hear the conspiracy theory anymore that the league wasn't giving the Warriors any foul calls because they just quite frankly didn't deserve them because they didn't have a player like Jimmy Butler.
Like, didn't have a player aggressively enough driving to the hoop. Oh, but Steph, this, that, and the other.
No, but so this is where I'll stop you.
No.
There's a di- no, no.
Huh?
The, if the league is going to be perimeter-based, you need to assess a foul on the perimeter the same way you do a foul underneath the hoop. And so if you breathe on someone underneath the hoop, just because your proximity to where the hoop is, doesn't mean that I'm allowing inconsistent physicality 40 feet away from the hoop. Like, a foul's a foul. You're That's where I disagree.
You're saying they're not calling enough on Steph in the perimeter when he's getting hacked.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you
I feel like physically
on the block the way he has guarded away from the like away from the 3-point line, yeah, his body has scars on it.
Yeah, so does Jokic, and he's not complaining about it.
Jokic is averaging 9+ free throws a game.
Yeah, but because he gets inside. He gets so hacked in the middle.
Okay, now you're doing what I call location discrimination as an official, okay? Why is it that
that's
the ball...
That's a four. I love that, actually.
No, this is the truth. Why is it just because I'm in the paint, now I'm going to officiate it differently? No, I disagree. Well, I completely disagree.
Every time Stephen Curry's hacked beyond the perimeter, they're almost always calling it. Like,
no, they're not.
Yes, they are.
What, he averages
hand
three
checking? Is that what you're saying?
What?
No, because no one's hacking Steph beyond the arc. No one's doing that. If they are, he's going to the line.
No, he's not.
Yes,
no,
he is.
Not. No, he at for his career, he averages less than three free throws a game.
Because he's not driving to the hoop and he's not getting fouled there.
Yes, see, that we just disagree. There is a way that Steph Curry plays basketball that does not get officiated appropriately. When he is getting blitzed and trapped, I see other players. Dame Lillard is a great example. He doesn't drive to the hoop. I don't consider Dame Lillard
You didn't see him driving to the hoop all last game?
Steph Curry does also drive to the hoop, but I'm telling you, he has not officiated the same way. I've been watching him his entire career.
So have I. 888-957-9570. This is the sound, though, Joe Shasky. The location discrimination, I did like that. Draymond Green on the Draymond Green podcast talking about the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, and this is alongside Baron Davis. Take a listen. This was very interesting here.
Like, we got Jimmy Butler. Like, this is no small deal. It's Jimmy Butler. Steph, he looked like he got belief. After the trade, he looked at me and he said, man, it's crazy because it just dawned on me that, like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is
the last run.
Last ride. Like, and I said, let's do it.
Let's ride to the wheels fall off.
It's, like, let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
It was an emotional moment.
Last ride, last dance. This is it. It's Jimmy, it's Steph, it's Draymond. Ladies and gentlemen, are you in or out on that being the last ride for this Golden State Warriors team? Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond. That's the trio. That's it. This is not going to be Jimmy, KD, Steph. No. It's not going to be Giannis. No. It's Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, and Draymond Green. Are you in or out on that trio? And if you're in, call 888-957-9570, or if you're out on it, 888-957-9570. Joe Shasky, when you heard that, this is the last ride, was it kind of like sobering a little bit? It's like, wow, like, there's an expiration date on this thing now. And it's two and a half
Draymond
seasons.
Draymond realized it.
Yeah, well, him saying, quoting Steph saying, wow.
I know.
Like,
but I also, like, watching the clip, because I watched it at the break when Carter showed it to me, you could see, like, this epiphany come across Draymond's face. Like, he finally acknowledged it, which I actually appreciate, because it shows that these guys understand where they're at. And I think that them not understanding where they were at, and I don't want to pick on this guy, but I think a large part of why Clay's not here is his unwillingness to accept where he was in his career. I think it's easy for me to say that. It's probably harder for him to accept it, right? You know, it'd be like me being told, hey, Joe, you're actually going to be weekends now.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be ready to accept that.
No.
I'll be the first to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I do think that, like, part of why they're at where they're at, and the fact that they've acknowledged that, it'll make them better for it. Because they don't have a long runway. And Draymond, you can't be getting thrown out of games, especially this year, because we don't have a lot of margin of error. This isn't 2016. Your career is probably, like, I think Draymond's teed off on the 16th hole, 17th hole. What do you think? There's 18 holes in a golf round.
I am aware.
Okay, so I'm just saying for those that don't know.
He's absolutely on the back nine. He's heading into the 16th hole. He's got three holes left.
Okay, what about Steph?
Steph?
I think he's teed off on the 14th.
Yeah, maybe a year, a hole before.
But I also don't know, because Steph's accomplished so much. he could be on his 17th hole, and we just don't know it. And we're and he's ready to hang it up while he's still elite, and maybe doesn't want to hang around like we want him to, you know, years after.
Using this analogy, you know, he's walking these holes. Maybe Jimmy Butler and coming here is kind of like a golf cart, takes a little bit of a load off. I don't have to be walking around as much.
I like that.
So he's, you know, hop in, Steph.
They're definitely not on the bridge with Jack Nicklaus waving at everyone, right?
They're not doing that.
They're not there. Had they not made a move, I think they'd be closer to that.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, if they had they not make a move, they'd be Vandeveld, shout out St. Andrews, you know.
Exactly.
The British Open just sinking into the oasis, right? But I love that question. 888-957-9570. You heard it from Draymond. You heard it from Steph. This is the last ride for this Golden State Warriors squad as we know it. And it's going to be a trio of Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond. Are you in or out on that? 888-957-9570.
I wonder if people like that. I mean, we don't. On some level, we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Right? Going back to Michelle, you know, does anybody have a choice? But on another level, like, Jimmy Butler's pretty freaking good.
I don't know, Joe.
Jimmy Butler's pretty freaking good. But I think Warrior fans got kind of, let's put it this way, we got spoiled with Kevin Durant coming in his prime and all those guys being in
their
primes.
That's what you're comparing it to, always.
And I just don't think you can use that as a calibration. You have to recalibrate. This is the best it's going to be, and you know what? I'm okay with that. But here's what they can do. If that's the trio, the guys around them, Moses Moody, Pajemski, Kevon Looney, Jonathan Kuminga, all these people have opportunities to prove that they're championship-level players over the next couple of weeks here.
It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be like an audition.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
I mean, it's kind of where we're at.
That's the sounder, too, Joe Shasky. It's time to give away a pair of Curry 12s. Caller number 5 on the contest line, 415-523-4652. We'll be winning a pair of the Steph Curry Under Armour What the Bay 12s. Call now, 415-523-4652, be caller number 5. More from Draymond Green on his podcast. So he said this was the last ride for Steph, maybe Jimmy, but definitely Steph and Draymond on the Golden State Warriors. Here's what Draymond had to say about how things went down in Miami with Jimmy Butler.
You know, people get caught up in all the stuff that was going on in the Miami last podcast. Remember I had said, I just don't want Jimmy to end up in the spot where they use that against him. The reason I said that is because it's a guy that I respect as a winner.
Yeah.
I've been victim of people trying to take a winner and tear him down through all these false narratives. And so I've been a victim of that. And as you see, coming out of it, you're seeing exactly the Jimmy Butler that I knew. I feel great, brother. You know, it's been a while since I've gone into basketball games like, oh yeah, we're going to go just win. Stuff going to get harder. We're going to have to figure stuff out, you know, but I know when it's right.
And I think that's where a lot of people were at too. It's like, listen, what went down in Miami, you can't unsee it. There was some bad blood between the president, Pat Riley, and Jimmy Butler. That's fine. But as far as on the court, like when push came to shove, I know what I was getting from Jimmy in crunch time. I was going to get a dog. I was going to get a guy that demanded attention from the defense. I was going to get a guy that can facilitate. I knew what I was getting there. And I think you're getting a leader on the court. And in the locker room, I don't really need him to be a leader, but if he is one, that's great. But I already have a leader of this franchise in Stephen Curry, one of the greatest in the history of the sport. And is he going to be the vocal leader? He's never been that guy, except when, you know, he needed to be in the playoffs a couple of years ago, obviously, heading into Game 7 in Sacramento. I already have that established. So if people have this preconceived notion that Jimmy was going to come here, no, this is my team, this, that, and the other, he's not doing that. At least right now, he's not doing that, Joe Shasky. And I do think that is why this is working so well, is because there is already a hierarchy built in at that locker room. But I do think this is unique because the ego of a Steph is different, right? Like, I think he is willing to, you know, he was willing to be the second fiddle to Kevin Durant at times. The fan base might not have seen it like that, but Kevin Durant was the best player on those championship teams.
He wanted
teams.
To win.
Wanted to win.
Yeah.
And I think Steph, and you hear all of his comments, whether it's in Paris, whether it's before the season, I want to be playing meaningful basketball games. And if Jimmy Butler's going to give me the best opportunity to do that, I will conform to whatever Jimmy needs in this locker room, and I will be a great teammate with him. I'm not going to be fighting it. And I am curious to see, you know, in here, when eventually the doc comes out, you know, 10 years from now, you know, the Jimmy Butler acquisition. How did you feel about it, Steph? Because he'll tell us 10 years from now.
Oh, I bet he'd say I was very reluctant.
Right? I'm sure.
For Draymond, like if I was just looking at Draymond, Draymond's a lot. And Draymond, part of the Draymond experience is that if he doesn't think you're on his level, whether we agree with him or not, he won't give you the benefit of the doubt. He won't respect
you.
That's
why he's so hard on the young guys.
He'll run through you.
That's why he was so hard on the young guys.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy's one of the few players. I'm sure Durant was one of those guys. But then again, they had their own issues. How many guys in the league is Draymond, not that he's backing down to, but he's like, yeah, his resume speaks for itself.
Yes. It's going to be that guy. Well, and then
Jokic.
Giannis. I mean, we're talking about Davis, LeBron, but those guys obviously different relationships.
Is it less than 12 guys in the league?
Exactly. Loves Luka. Yeah, but it's basically if you're a top 15 player. And then if you're a fringe guy, he's not going to respect your game. Like, he goes at Karl-Anthony Towns, who I would consider one of the best players in the NBA when he is on. He's very good. But he doesn't respect his game.
Even though I feel like he hasn't hit his full peak, but I'm with you.
But he was, you know, he went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
He's a good player. I'm saying I don't think he's, for as talented as he is, I think he leaves a little to be desired.
By the way, shout out to Travis in Richmond. He won the Stephen Curry 12s, the What the Bay 12s. So shout out Travis in Richmond. If all of you people are still calling, stop doing that because you're not winning anything. So please, you have another opportunity to win tomorrow, though. So don't worry. But Travis in Richmond, shout out to you and the people that didn't win. Call in tomorrow. By the way, we have an opportunity to win a spot in our knockout tournament. So if you want to do that, that is going to be happening in the 8 o'clock hour. Be listening for the keyword sometime between 8 and 8:30. And then in the following segment between 8:30 and 9, we're going to call out the sounder, call in with the keyword, and you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. And if you're the first caller there, you are going to be playing hoops on the court at Chase Center. So if you're calling right now, 888-957-9570 on our normal line, Draymond Green said with Baron Davis, talked with Steph. This is the last ride. It's going to be Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green. Are you in or out on that trio the next 2.5 seasons, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570.
Is that good enough to win one? I mean, that's such a... Oh, yeah, you got to add to it. You got to add this. Yeah, of course.
There's going to be caveats. If Jonathan Kuminga could take a leap and be an all-star caliber player, now that's a big leap. Andrew Wiggins was a number one overall pick, was an all-star once. I'm willing to wager he's never going to be an all-star again. But can Jonathan Kuminga take another leap? Because he was ascending prior to the injury. We just had Terry Stotts on at 7 o'clock, assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. He said that was the best basketball he was playing all season. And he can't speak to what it was prior, but he was playing great basketball. Can he take another step? Because if he can do that, then I got Jimmy Butler, all-star caliber. Stephen Curry, all-star caliber. Draymond Green, not an all-star, but still a top 10 defensive player caliber when he is on, I believe.
If you ask me, of those three, Dre's the one I have the biggest question marks on.
Well, absolutely. Because of the offensive game. I know what I'm getting from the other two.
And health.
Yes. But I think the health is also baked in there with Steph because he has missed a lot of games. And they are playing him a lot more here because they do see that there's going to have a break here, the bilateral knee tendonitis. But to your point, the calf scares the hell out of me for Draymond.
Back.
Think of all the calf injuries that I've had in the Bay Area with just our sports figures, exactly. Right? Kevin Durant, Dre Greenlaw, Christian McCaffrey, all those guys. And Draymond Green, you know, having that wear and tear guarding against fives and the bigs, the Anthony Davises, so Giannises.
Do you think it's, okay, just those three as a starting point, and obviously you have to cook it around them and you have to supplement around them. Is that good enough to win one?
Is it a cop-out if I say I don't know?
Well, what I was going to say, I was going to take the Steiny line, and I'm going to steal it from them. I think they got action. I don't think they're in the mix. I don't think they're not in the mix. I think they're in the mix. I don't think they're some favorite. But I think this is a pretty good, like, if we're going bullets in the chamber, it's a pretty good bullet in the chamber.
Let's go through it then. Western Conference, Thunder, SGA, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren.
7-game series. That's a great team. Regular season, they're going to continue to win 60-plus games.
But in a series.
Series are different, and we play them really well. I don't know why. We match up well with them. So I don't think it's this absurd thing to say that, like, Jimmy, Steph, and Dre, 7-game series, I like my chances. I'm not even saying that we're going to win, no doubt. I'm just saying I like my chances.
Okay, let's
Denver
go.
Denver scares me.
Okay.
Denver really scares me.
Jokic,
Lakers
Murray.
Scare me.
Okay.
Those are matchups that I'm like,
Those are the ones that are absolutely concerning. But outside of that, then you got the Grizzlies. You got Ja. You got Jaren Jackson
Jr. The Grizzlies don't scare me. Okay. I just can't take them serious.
Why?
Because they haven't won anything of significance.
No, but they're very good. Is Zach Edey and Draymond?
Would you agree with me? The regular season in the NBA and then the like a 7-game series, it's difficult to say, like, hey, you rattled off 58 wins in the regular season. You're a bad team. No, you're not a bad team. But when you get into these 7-game series, it's about matchups.
Yes.
And there are certain matchups that really, like, big physical wings, big physical bigs that can score and pass, those scare me in these matchups. It's the element you don't have. And that's why the Lakers, with two ball-dominant dudes who are big physical wings in LeBron and Luka, that's scary. And then there are guys around him. Jokic, look, Jokic is Jokic. And if Jamal Murray's hitting shots and they got Gordon, they've got a ruggedness and an outside shot that really scares me in the half court.
Well, that's just it, right? Jamal Murray, where's he at? Because he's been kind he's been inconsistent, but when push comes to shove, I've seen him against the Lakers the last couple of series, the playoffs, just absolutely lighting him
up.
And he was the difference. You know what Jokic is getting a triple-double every game. I just have that baked in, his play. He's
Draymond
just that good.
Played him, and they had no one alongside of him.
No one.
Because Porter Jr. was hurt, yep. And Jamal Murray was hurt. And he looked otherworldly.
Yes. Do you see the three-pointer he had? That was yesterday. The day before. It's unreal.
He shoots over the back of his head.
DeAndre Ayton was guarding him, and DeAndre Ayton is not a small individual, and he was guarding him as best as you could on the corner three. He just, like a Russell Wilson halo ball, just shot it over everyone.
Now, this
unreal.
Year, like, I don't think Houston's ready. But let's say Houston gets into a series, and they learn a lot this year. Mm-hmm. Like, a year from now, they're a different team. 2 years from now, they're a different team. I might be singing a similar tune about OKC after this playoff run, right? I might view them differently.
Clippers are a wild
card. I don't know what to make of them.
Clippers are a wild card for me. Because
I'd like to see us play the Clippers now with Jimmy Butler.
Right? When am I getting with Kawhi? I don't know.
No clue.
I have no idea. Like, when he is... And he's not going to be healthy. Like, I can't. Like, what version of Kawhi is this? I was going to say, oh, when he's healthy, he's never healthy.
And
so
playoff Harden is different from regular season Harden.
Right. Norman Powell has been an all-time Warriors killer. Zubac has been an all-time Warriors killer. So there is something to be feared there. Timberwolves.
I can't believe, like, of all, like, we don't, like, not that I don't, but, like, I don't fear the Thunder, but I really fear the Clippers. Like, that sounds absurd on the surface.
But there's just layers built into this because... In hindsight, it's hilarious because last year, the amount of calls we took, you know, if the Warriors could sneak in, we beat the Kings, we beat the Pelicans, I don't fear the Thunder in the first round. And then, you get absolutely obliterated against the hapless Kings in that situation. Clay goes over. You
NFL.
Don't play Chris Paul.
The NFL. Like Detroit was a juggernaut all year.
But then we kind of thought their defense was fugazi, though, right?
They got the doors blown off them.
Yes.
The doors blown off them and by Washington. It's about the playoffs are about matchups.
Yes.
And it's about individual matchups.
Eagles almost lost to the Rams.
Exactly.
You know, maybe if that happens, the Chiefs won it all. The Chiefs just, that matchup, they just could not handle that.
100%.
They could not handle it.
And so, like, I know the NBA is different because you get seven of them and it's not a one-off, but, like, there is something about, like, being able to game plan. And then this is the part where I think adding a Jimmy Butler, when you add a veteran player that's been through those types of 7-game series gauntlets over and over, he understands how to take away what you do the best.
If you're just joining us, good morning. It's Joe Spadoni. It's Joe Shasky. If it's raining out there, please drive safely. It could be slick. 888-957-9570. The latest from Draymond Green and the Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis talking about this potential last ride with him, Jimmy, and Steph. Take a listen.
Like, we got Jimmy Butler. Like, this is no small deal. It's Jimmy Butler. Steph, he looked like he got belief. After the trade, he looked at me and he said, man, it's crazy because it just dawned on me that, like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is
the last run.
Last ride. Like, and I said, let's do it.
Let's ride to the wheels fall off.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
It was an emotional moment.
Are you in or out on this last ride trio of Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond? Let's go out to Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina. What's going on, Tim? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky.
Drellas, what is up this morning? Hey, it's funny how Dre always finds a way to, like, bring it back to himself, right? Like, when he's talking about the Jimmy and my, like, that is the funniest thing ever. But, you know, guys, honestly, Dre is – you know, I know the name is there, but he's not really a part. You know, I guess we got to say he's part of a big three, man. But Dre ain't even really trying to shoot the ball 4 foot from the basket anymore at this point. He's just setting picks and throwing great passes. But the key, I think, to the whole thing, if Kuminga comes back and is basically being himself, and I think Jimmy Butler is the best mentor ever for him, because the fact that he can see a guy playing somewhat similar to the way he wants to play, which is attacking the rim, going at the basket, and seeing that it's being glorified, I mean, I think that would be absolutely amazing. I think he's the key. If he comes back giving you 20 to 25 points a game, which he can do damn near in his sleep, if he's still doing that and you can keep two of those four players on the court at all times, like Shasky, what you just said, man, it ain't really about a big three anymore, man. It's about all of the parts around them. And so you're going to need Paz, you're going to need Moody, you're going to need Kuminga. Like, I love what the front office did by eliminating basically four players to just get Jimmy, because they took some of those comfort pieces away from Kerr, the Lindy Water, the Schroeder's. Like, now it is going to be a select 9 or 10, and we just going to go get it and compete. And so I think the key to it all is Kuminga, because he's going to get you 20 to 25. Jimmy can get you 20 to 25. And now you got Steph at 25 to 30. And then you don't know what you're going to. You're going to get you some from Post. You're going to get you some from Moody. You're going to get some from Paz. It's just more streamlined. But I think he's the key to making us be able to compete with those other athletic freak wings that everybody else has. We're the only ones. Now we have two of them who can go compete, because Wiggs just quite wasn't there. Nothing. Wiggles just a light guy, man. He's 197 pounds. Kuminga and Butler, they 230, man. 6'7", 230.
Tim, they play through the chest. They play through the chest. Yeah, man. There's a difference.
Bully ball. And if you guys, I know you guys are big on Slater and listen to what those guys say. And if you listen to them, those guys said Kuminga has been, like, is in love with Jimmy Butler on the way he's bringing it. Like, he is excited to be able to play with this guy. And I think he sees what it can be when you're not forced to be in a box. Like, Kuminga is able to look at Butler, and Butler is not being forced to catch and shoot threes and do all of this. He is playing his game, and I think that is going to help Kuminga even more, being able to know, you know what, I don't have to shoot threes all the time. I can get to the rim. I just think it's going to be a great match, man. But, yeah, it's just funny, man. I had to break up the Draymond thing. Everything is about, yeah, I remember when it happened to me and all of that. It's just funny. But, all right, fellas, y'all take care, man.
I appreciate him. Loved him in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I believe in Kuminga, and I'm with him on this. And I would say, like, we throw around the term X factor.
Yeah.
He is the X factor.
Simon Cowell.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, superstars are supposed to give you superstar impact. X factors are people that you don't really know what you're like. Not that you don't know what you're going to get, but when they play at their most optimal, your team is almost unbeatable.
Let's say, yeah, you would say Gary Payton was an X factor in the Warriors championship run.
Yeah,
you would say
until he broke his arm.
Well, but I was saying, but that's a kind of a guy.
Yes,
like you would say. Lonnie Walker was an X factor for the Lakers in that one
series.
Was
Iguodala back in the earlier versions? Was he too good?
Ooh, he was too good. He was too good because he felt like he was always closing the games. He was an all-star caliber player. Jordan Poole maybe was an X factor.
Absolutely.
Jordan Poole was an X factor.
Absolutely.
But maybe Tim got me thinking like this. Maybe we're thinking of the Big Three, and again, we're viewing it through Draymond's lens. Maybe the Big Three is Kuminga, Jimmy, and Steph, and that's how we should be viewing it going forward.
Well, I mean, you could make an argument. If they're going to win one, then that's what it has to evolve into.
Yes. And I'm very curious to see how this, all the contract negotiations build out, you know, from now until the summertime, restricted free agent, this, that, and the other with Kuminga. I'm very curious to see how this unwinds. And Tim mentioned, you know, the Anthony Slaters of the world. Very curious. Slater tomorrow or Friday? Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk with Slater about that on Friday, because I'm very curious to see how that's going to shake out.
You're going to get a really good look tonight. They play the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas, and I just think this is an awesome opportunity to kind of see what they look like against a team that you're vying for playoff positioning with.
And no big. So again, get fat and happy here. I want them to take advantage of that.
Yeah, but we have no
Kuminga. Well, I know, but again.
So, you know, like
is a team that is struggling right now emotionally. I'm just saying, like, the fan base, you don't think the players are, and Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson?
And then you add in the Steph Curry factor, where there's going to be a lot of Steph Curry jerseys in the building. I think you're going to be We should talk a little bit about the Dallas Stadium, because I think tonight it's going to be very different.
Very different.
I mean, this fan base is pissed.
Oh, they're waiting. The Boo Birds are going to be out tonight if the Warriors win this game or they're dominating early. I cannot wait for the
And you
the
know
Boo
who
Birds.
Has a player option at the end of the year?
Kyrie Irving.
I'm just saying.
Josh, 580. What's up, Josh? How you doing, man? You're all Spadoni and Chasky.
Good morning, guys. Happy Wednesday to you. Yeah, man, I just want to chime in. I think it's going to work. I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, championship level competing, but, you know, seven-game series, I agree, we have leadership, and that's what wins in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying, Joe. When you have veterans, mm-hmm. you have leadership, and I had to rewatch that Bucks game, and I'm really watching Jimmy the whole time, and he's talking. He's talking to guys, get here, who you got, where you going, you know, getting everybody set up. And that's what Steph was saying, the organization and the leadership, so you get good possessions every time down. That's what the Warriors struggled. You can run that motion offense, but it's going to get bogged down by teams that have good defenses. You got to have a guy who can go get his bucket one-on-one. That's the one thing, for as great as Steph is, he's always needed a forward, right? He needed Iguodala. He needed KD. In that 2022 year, he didn't really have a forward, but Otto Porter kind of played that role in a sense, but he needs a guy that you can give the ball to in the low post. That's how you win games in the playoffs. You got to have somebody in the low post to settle things down, and Jimmy can get a bucket. Wiggins, they try to put him in the high post, but he just gets stonewalled. He's too small.
And he can't pass.
He doesn't have enough moves.
He didn't pass like Jimmy. Jimmy's a great passer.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy, he knows how to play. He commands the leadership and respect. So I think you have that. You get Steph Ball and you get Kuminga in there. They got a chance to compete against anybody. So I like what I see. You know, it's only two games, but Jimmy's going to bring a sense of calm and leadership and respect that I think when you get in the playoffs, that it's going to take them a far away.
Yeah,
so,
they got action, in the words of Steiny. I'm stealing Steiny's line. I think they got action.
888-957-9570. We got action at 8:30 because the GOAT, Jerry Rice, is going to be joining us, Joe Shasky. Get his thoughts on all things, you know, 49ers, but also the NBA, because he's going to be a coach in the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game. You know who's coaching against? Oh, just, you know, the greatest home run hitter of all time, Perry Bonds.
Oh.
Just that guy. You know, two of the greatest, two of your favorite players. If you were to rank your favorite players of all time, I'm sure they'd make the list, top five. But in no particular order.
Are you kidding me? Of course.
Is Bonds your number one? Is he your guy?
Bonds is my favorite player.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, as you deck down Giants.
Second is Tim Lincecum.
I mean, you're not going to open that with Jerry, though. You're not going to tell him that Barry Bonds is your favorite player of all time, right?
Well, Jerry's one of my favorite football players of all time.
Okay, but you're not going to tell Jerry that Bonds is my favorite.
No, Jerry knows that I got love for him. Okay. Why you got to do this?
I'm just saying. You won't say it.
People always do this. Like, what's your favorite sport? And this is what I always say since I was a kid. What season is it?
Okay.
What?
It's fine.
In baseball season, baseball was my favorite. In basketball season, basketball was my favorite.
Football season's 24/7, 365,
brother.
No, see,
I disagree. No, I need a little break from football every now and then.
No. Cabby Lame? That's the assistant for Jerry Rice. I got to be able to figure out who that is because I don't want to, you know, have this interview in 38 minutes and not know who his assistant coach is. I do know that he is coaching his old teammate, Terrell Owens, though, Joe Shasky, so I can't wait for that. 8:30, Jerry Rice talking all things All-Star game because he's going to be a part of it for the NBA and also 49ers. But in the meantime, we got a couple minutes here before the injury report. You want to squeeze one more caller in, Joe Shasky?
Sure, because I've got a point about matchups and playoffs and all that I want
to
make.
Damari is in San Jose and wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Damari? You're on with us, Spadoni and Shasky.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
I was just hearing about the last ride. I think that Draymond Green, he already knows that this is his last ride. You know what I mean? As far as, like, I'm happy that we did sign Jimmy to a two-year deal because of the simple fact that we don't know how it's going to play out with him to where next year, if he doesn't play out the way it's supposed to play out, we can't trade him for another superstar. You know what I mean? And another thing is that we have we're into this 11-man rotation. We're going to have to, like, shimmer that down once it gets close to, like, playoffs. We got to find our go-to guys that's going to get us there. You know what I mean? So I just think that's the best thing to do. Like, Pods, and they got to shimmer down their playing time too, but at the end of the day, though, I think we can get there because once we get to postseason, you got to think about a lot of teams. They get hurt, and we could get there off other players get hurt, just like we did before. We won a championship because there was other teams that was hurt and we were healthy. But you know, that's all I have to say. You guys have a good day, man. I appreciate you.
Good call. Damari in San Jose, 888-957-9570. We'll react to that on the other side. Plus, Joe Shasky has some thoughts on this as well. You heard from Draymond, and you heard from Steph, who Draymond was speaking for Steph here. But this feels like the last ride for this Golden State Warriors kind of trio here now. And if you want to include Draymond in that or not, we'll see if Jonathan Kuminga could be a part of that going forward. But Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, are you in or out on that being the last ride for the Golden State Warriors? 888-957-9570. We got Jerry Rice coming up at 8:30, but now it's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Dallas Mavericks will not have their big man on the floor tonight. I am, of course, talking about center Daniel Gafford, who will miss tonight's game against the Warriors after suffering a right knee sprain over the weekend against the Kings and will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Oh, and Anthony Davis is also out with an adductor strain. Derek Lively out. They got everyone out right now in Dallas. Will the Warriors take advantage? We shall see. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Safeway. More of your calls, more of your text. Jerry Rice at 8:30. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game.